Father, we thank you, Lord, as always, the entrance of your word brings light. We pray that that light will shine in our hearts and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding to the praise and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so let's take this as though it were part two. You know, let the waters be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. Well, that's a prophetic declaration that we made over the room, and I will pray and declare it again today. Hallelujah. So we started here in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And you might remember the Genesis story, the Genesis creation, how God by his word, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. And so that word going out in Genesis chapter 1, God calling various things out, even things that were not, as though they already are. He looked at it. Everything was void and chaotic, and he didn't like it. The Holy Spirit began to move, and he called the first thing. God didn't like darkness. God didn't like chaos. God didn't like any of that thing. And so when he created the world, initially everything was just like that, bunch of mass and things over, water covering the land, this one there and there, you know, and God already knew all of that, and he already knew how he's going to command the things, and when he spoke, it was done. When he commanded, it stood fast, and so he said, let there be light, and there was light, and the Lord looked at the light, he liked it, and he said, that's good, and the evening and the morning were the first day, you know. And then he began to imagine other things as well. Whatever he imagined, that was in his great mind, his infinite mind, he called it forth. And as he did, he called them forth one by one. Now, yesterday was very prophetic and significant in the way we covered it, because it was the third day. Yesterday was the third day of July, and it was on the third day that he did the, you know, splitting and dividing of the waters. And we did that first yesterday, but I'm repeating the lesson today. You know, so God calling things one by one, here and there, calling them out, you know, first the light, and it was good. And then, but I also often want to remind people that even as we go through this lesson, let's bring this out as well. When God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he named the light day, and he named the darkness night. Well, the revelation that God gives us out of that is the fact that God had a purpose for night and day. Otherwise, he wouldn't give it a name. And God could have rebuked the darkness and say, let the darkness be no more. And then if he had said that, there would have been no more darkness. But he didn't say that. All he said was, let there be light. And he left the darkness and the light side by side. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14 will tell us, it says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. And in the day of adversity, consider. You know, and I hope that people will help me post these scriptures. We want these scriptures to be a part of today's lesson, because I will delete the other room after we're done with today. Today's recording is good. You know, so the day of prosperity is like the light. The day of adversity is like the darkness. And God put the two of them side by side, according to Ecclesiastes 7:14, for the intent that people should find nothing after him, that you should always look toward God. He left the night and the day side by side. And until this day, that's the way it is. Well, there's coming a time when there will be night no more, because the Lamb will be the glory of the place. And, you know, once there is no more darkness, then there is no more death, because there will be no more time. The way time is calculated now is because there is night and day. Then you call it one day. Well, when the night is removed, then it will be day forever. Hallelujah. And there will be no more time. Glory to God. Well, that's coming, but not yet. Right now, we're under the elements of time and seasons and different things like that. And so God began to call these things forth, you know, and then, you know, finally he looked and there were, you know, masses of water. I mean, water everywhere. I mean, there were, you know, gases and everything. And God began to call, he said, look, let the waters, you know, above the firmament, let them be divided. He created a firmament and he divided the waters. And there was always a dividing that he was doing here. Divided the waters that were above the firmament from the waters that were above, I mean, beneath the firmament. And we don't know, I mean, what the Lord did with this firmament. I mean, it was something incredible. And he put it in place. And then today we look at that firmament because God called it heaven. And we say, oh, heaven. You know, but it's a firmament that he put out there. It's like a layer, a film, a layer. It's like, you know, even a veil if you want, but it's a thick one, a strong one. And it put the waters above and the waters beneath. He called that one heaven. And finally, you know, he said this, and this is where our lesson is. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And I love the way when God always said let. Let means it you know, cause it to happen. Cause it to happen. It's like a commandment and he's speaking to the elements. He's speaking to whatever needs to hear that commandment to make it happen. Let there be light. Wherever the light, whatever the darkness was in place, the light was had to shine. Because God said let. Let the waters be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, the gathering together of the waters, he called the seas. And the dry land, he called the earth. And God saw that it was good. But I tell you what, there was a lot of things that God put inside that dry land. But that dry land could not bring forth any of those things that God was yet to command to come out of the dry land until he had moved the waters out of place. The waters were covering the earth. You know, what God would later call the earth, which is the dry land. God had to move the waters out. Piled it up. He divided the waters and moved them. He said, let them gather together in one place. Gather, move out of the way and let the dry land appear. Glory to God. And after that, a lot of things God began to call forth from the earth. You know, now that the way has been paved, waters have been moved out of the way. Now the earth can bring forth. The earth can now be fruitful. The earth can now, you know, yield her increase. Hallelujah. And one of the first increases that God began to bring forth, he called the grass, he called this yielding, herb yielding seed, he called the fruit tree that has fruit and seed in itself. I mean, and it was so, and the earth began to bring forth vegetation. Beautiful stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everything that God created was good. Because the Bible says he looked at it and it was good. And in fact, you know, he looked at it and it was very good. God did not create, you know, poisonous plants and all those things and, or even wild animals and all these things. You know, everything was beautiful. Because he said he has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, all of that happened as a rebellion. You know, all the wildness and toxicity and, you know, plants that have thorns and animals that became wild and everything that just went out of kilter was because of the so-called fall. When sin entered into the world, Adam lost the glory of God. And all the things that were looking to Adam and being enlightened, they had no more direction. You know, they were looking to that glory and they were being enlightened day by day. And they had no more direction and they became rebellious. They became wild. Even the plants and animals and everything. You know, but in the beginning it was not like that. Everything was calm Everything was tosa. Everything was good. In fact, you know, even gold in the ground, gold in the land. The Bible said the gold of that land was good, and everything. I mean, it was everything was good until sin entered into the world. But let's bring our attention to this parting of the waters, the dividing of the waters. So that's what the lesson was yesterday, and I'm going over it again today. There are many places in the Bible that God uses this depiction of parting of the waters to bring out a great lesson. We see it first here in Genesis. The earth could not yield its increase. It could not bring forth these great things that the earth had, you know, until God removed the waters over onto one side. You know, so that was very important. We see also a few other lessons, powerful stories in the Bible. We see one in Exodus chapter 14, the story of Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Finally, they got to the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh charging out behind them, no place to go. And as I often said, and I said again yesterday, you will have those Red Sea moments. No place to go. And you'll have a choice. You can believe the Lord, or you can grumble. You know, like they grumbled. They were grumbling about everything. Why have you brought us, you know, here to die? Were there no graves in Egypt? Could have left us there to die there. What do you bring us here for? You know, so they grumbled, they complained about everything. But right here in this story in Exodus chapter 14, and God held Pharaoh's chariots and the horses, he held them at bay because the pillar of fire was in front of them. Animals can't go through fire. So God put that up there, and, you know, they couldn't charge through, you know, until, you know, a moment in time when God wanted them to get in and be destroyed. Now, God spoke to Moses when Moses cried out to the Lord because the people cried to him. And the Lord said to him in Exodus chapter 14, he said, look, why are you standing here crying to me? Speak to the people that they go forward. But go forward to where? I mean, the Red Sea is there in front of them. How can they go forward there? But the first instruction from God in Exodus 14:15 to Moses was, look, you must go forward. You got to go forward. As long as you stand right there, it'll be the Red Sea. But, you know, you got to move forward. You know, so in your Red Sea moments, you must know that you must press forward. That's number one. We got to press forward. But here's something that God will do too. The Lord told him to stretch forth the rod that was in his hand. Remember, the Lord gave him a rod with which he wrought a lot of miracles in the land of Egypt. And the Lord said, stretch forth the hand, hallelujah, over the sea and divide it. Now, that's the same word again that he used in Genesis. Divide the sea, the Lord told Moses, and let the dry ground appear in the midst of the sea, so the children of Israel can go through. My goodness. And the Lord, you know, he said, look, I'm going to deal with these Egyptians. Don't worry about them. You know, so Moses, he stretched forth his hand over the sea, like the Lord said. And in verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. You know, and one time the Lord told Ezekiel concerning the dry bones and all of that, Ezekiel 37, can these bones live again? The man said, well, I don't know, Lord, do you know? And the Lord said, well, they can and they will, and you will be the one to speak to them. And so God gave him instruction, and after he spoke, the Lord said, prophesy unto the wind also. You know, he prophesied upon the bones, then he prophesied unto the wind. And so here again, we see the east wind coming and driving. And throughout the time that they were in Egypt, God used the wind. You know, sometimes he used the wind to drive all the locusts away from the land, you know, and so forth. So he's using the wind here again to move back those. I mean, that Red Sea was a massive thing. I mean, We don't know how many billions of gallons of water was in there. And God caused an east wind. It wasn't instantaneous. All night long. And walked through the midst of the sea and began to roll the waters up, pile them up like a wall on either side. And my goodness, it was a sight to behold. I mean, just imagine it in your head. I mean, when the children of Israel were looking and seeing this mighty rushing wind slap against the seas, and the waves slam up like that, and everything just slash fine. And they didn't know what was happening. But one, moment after another, one moment after another, one moment after another, waters begin to be divided on the left, on this side, and on the right. And the next thing they know, my goodness, it looks like there's a tunnel through the sea and the dry land. And this thing, massive wall of water on either side, and the Lord made a way right through the Red Sea. He divided the sea because of the gathering of the waters on one side and the other, caused the east wind to blow through there. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he knows what he's doing. Sometimes it will be the east wind, sometimes the north, southwest, depending on which direction God wants to use it. All these things are at his bidding. Whether it's the wind, whether it's the hailstone, whether it's the storm, whether it's whatever, he can use it for his purpose. And when they stood right there, and Moses and Aaron and Miriam, everybody, they stood right there and said, let's go, let's go. And they rushed through. And meanwhile, I'm sure they were scared to death because nobody's ever seen anything like that. I mean, this wall of water towering over them, maybe in their mind, they're thinking this thing can come crashing down on us at any time. But Moses said, be not afraid. Keep moving. Be not afraid. Keep moving. Be not afraid. Keep moving. Get your wives, your little ones, your cattle, all your belongings, and keep moving. Let's go. Let's go. And so they began to go out through there. Meanwhile, those chariots and those raging horses, they're trying to get through. They cannot. Because the pillar of fire, fire all across their path. So they couldn't get through. And finally, it took the children of Israel, I don't know how long, how many hours it took them to get through. Because there was a lot of them. Millions of them. And they went through. And when they finished passing through, Moses stood right there. The Lord said, well, stretch forth your hand again over the sea and let the waters come back. But just before he did that, he caused the pillar of fire to be lifted. So when the pillar of fire was lifted, Pharaoh and his chariots charged in. Said, well, yes, they're going in for their kill. And the Lord waited, suckered them all in until they were all in the middle of the big tunnel that God had dug through the seas, and now there's no place to go. So God gave that instruction to Moses. Now, do it. Hallelujah. The other told him, but wait until I give you the word. And now God said, now do it. And so he stretched forth his hand again over the sea, kind of waved it like that, and the waters came crashing down on the chariots, the horses, Pharaoh, and all his army. They were drowned. I know there are some scoffers that have said that, well, there really wasn't anything to it. The sea was very shallow anyway, so they just walked through on dry land. Really? My response to that was, well, it's even a greater miracle if it was that shallow, because the shallow waters drowned all the chariots and the horses. So if you think it was shallow, well, how did it manage to drown all those other people? How could they not wade through it if it was that shallow? No, ladies and gentlemen, it was piled up heaps of water on either side. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, are that not he in Isaiah 51, that has dried the Red Sea and made a way for the ransom to walk through? So we see the parting and the dividing of the waters here. Again, we see in Joshua chapter 3, there's another story that we see there. The parting, this time it is the parting of River Jordan. Now, Joshua is the man that's going to take them in. Moses had given him instructions. The Lord wouldn't let Moses in. The Lord didn't let Aaron in either. You know, so, but Joshua, he's going in. And this man, Joshua, you know, his own stuff's different. You know, Moses, you know, Moses had the staff and the pillar of fire and all of that. Joshua, he had the sword, you know, he's a man of war. He's not messing around, you know. And so Joshua, he commanded, you know, elders of the people, they're going in now. Elders of the people and then the priests to carry the ark and so forth. And so when they were going through, they had to pass through Jordan to get to the other side. The promised land, you have to go through this Jordan. And at this time of the year, this Jordan overflowed its banks. It was like a furious river at this time of year, you know. And so, but here is the deal, you know, the Lord gave them instructions through Joshua. And Joshua said, look, it shall come to pass, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, even the Lord of the whole earth, as soon as their feet shall rest on the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan will be cut off and divided from the waters that come down from above, they shall stand up as a heap. God will divide it again, so that they can go through on dry land. And the people went through, the priest that was bearing the Ark of the Covenant, they went through, and they came, and as soon as their feet touched and dipped in the brim of the water, Jordan at that time was overflowing all its banks in its fury. It came to pass, as soon as the feet of the priest touched the brim of the water, just like the word said, that the waters that came down, you know, because there was some hills and some things that the waters were flowing and rushing through into the River Jordan. It came to pass that those waters were cut off and their waters failed. Everything failed. It stopped flowing and everything was piled on either side and the dry land appeared and the people passed through all night long against Jericho. Now, the priests that carried the ark, they stood right there. The Bible says in verse 17 of this Joshua 3, that the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, they stood firm on the ground, waited until all the Israelites had passed over. You know, and the Lord gave us a prophetic, you know, thing to do yesterday. I stood right here I ministered yesterday and I said, well, you just march across. And as many as did the commandment of the Lord, I believe it was done. Hallelujah. And so they marched through while the priests stood on dry ground. All of them passed through on dry ground. That's another parting of the waters so that the people can go through on dry land. And well, let's look at another example in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah, the Tishbite. We know that he is going to be taken to heaven. This man, I said, well, it's a different kind of prophet. This is the kind of prophet you can't kill. He can't do it. You try to kill him, he'll call fire down from heaven. And this man, whatever was with him, he's going to go up in style. You know, he's going to go, chariots of fire are coming for him. And this man was a man like no other. You know, I mean, we've seen how Enoch went up with God. Well, we don't know exactly how Enoch went. His life was a bit silent. We know he went in the light. We know that because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 and 5. So for you to be united with God like that, you've got to be transformed completely into light. Enoch had that transformation. What's going on? He began to walk with God, you know, when he was, you know, 65 years old. And 300 years, it took him 300 years, folks, to do it. You know, despite that he was raising children, having sons and daughters, and having to deal with all the things around him, that didn't stop him. But he continued to press in. And he went in the light. We don't know exactly how he went. But this man, Elijah, my goodness, you know, we're going to see how he went. You know, nothing hidden about this Elijah. He's not like Enoch. There's nothing hidden. In fact, the whole world knew. All the sons of the prophets knew that he was going to be translated. And they even told Elijah, do you know that your master is going to be taken away from your head today? Do you know it? Because we know it. Elijah said, I know it. Keep your mouth shut. I already know it. Don't tell me anything. You know, so anyway, they went. And Elijah was trying to ditch him all the time. Elijah said, stay over here. And Elijah said, no way. Anywhere you go, I'm going. Stay over here. You know, no way. Anywhere you go, I'm going. And so let's pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 2. And when they got to the part that I want to bring out is when they got to Jordan, you know, and what the Elijah did in verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided. Now notice that word again. God divided the waters again. And, you know, it went through on dry land. Now, this sentence here makes it look as if it happened in a moment. No, it wasn't a moment. You know, Jordan was a powerful raging river. And it took time for this thing to happen. But it was summarized here that the thing just parted like that. But they had to wait until the parting was finished. And the dry land appeared, and they went over on dry land. And Elisha, he was taking notes. He was paying attention. And, you know, Elijah asked him, look, what do you want that I do to you? Seeing that I'm leaving you, ask me something that I can do for you. And the man said, well, I want a double portion of your spirit. Because he's seen some incredible things. And he said, my goodness, you know, I want that, and I want more. And Elijah said, well, that's a hard thing. I don't know. I mean, getting my spirit alone upon you, that's enough. But double of it? Well, okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. If you see me go up when I go, then you have it. If you don't, sorry, you can't have it. And so, as they went away, their way, all of a sudden, it came to pass that there appeared a chariot of fire. Woo-hoo! And horses of fire. And this Elijah man was a fireman. There was nothing cool about him. He was always on fire. You know, call fire down, you know, and so forth. I mean, he dug a trench, filled it, told them to fill it with water, do it three times, you know, and so forth. And yet, the fire of the Lord fell and licked up the water. Have you ever heard of such a thing? No. Water is usually antidote for fire, but this time around, Elijah, his fire licked up the water that he called out from the Lord. And he said, let Israel know that the Lord has turned their hearts towards him again today. I mean, this was the kind of man he was. Chariot of fire and everything, but Elijah saw it. And he said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. He saw it too. And he knew that because he saw it, he would have a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And, you know, some people have traced it down. They said, well, all the miracles that were recorded, you know, Elisha had twice as many recorded as Elijah, maybe, you know, but I think there was some tremendous power that Elisha had too. Even his bones, when he was dying, raised somebody else up. Now, so this Elijah, the mantle of Elijah fell on him when Elijah didn't need that mantle anymore. He fell down and he fell right on top of Elisha. And so Elisha said, wow, well, Elijah is gone now, you know. So he took the mantle and he walked backwards the same way they came. He went back the way they came and he got back to Jordan. By that time, Jordan had closed up again. Because, you know, God only parted the waters for a while and the waters came back and was flowing again like before, raging like he was. And Elisha, he took the mantle of Elijah, got up to the bank of the river and swept the thing, just like Elijah did. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the Lord answered him and divided the waters again. So you see multiple times, you know, the Lord's been dividing waters for people to pass through. and Elisha passed through on dry land. And I challenged the people and I said, Elisha did say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the response, Lord God of Elijah right here. But where are the Elijahs of God? Where are the people that can believe God like Elijah? You can't put that man to death. You know, it was a different kind of man. He can go up against 400 prophets and another 450. Didn't make him any difference at all. I mean, he can chide them all day long. Call upon the name of your gods. He's a god after all. Why don't you call a little bit louder? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's talking on the phone. Maybe he's counseling somebody. He mocked them all day long. And they cut themselves with blood. Blood gushed out and everything. And he said, well, are you done? All day long, from the morning till the evening oblation, they cut themselves, blood gushed out, jumped up and down, prophesied. There was no voice. There was nothing. Because, their God was no God. And Elijah said, are you done? And he said, okay, fine. Well, and he said, come near, all you people. And I'll show you today. And I said, God, hallelujah, that answered by fire. And he will be God. Woo-hoo. And Elijah, he said, well, before I do anything, dig holes, trenches around my forest. He repaired the altar, set the stones in order. He said, dig water around it and so forth. And pour, do it the second time. They did. Do it the third time. They did. And he said, well, now you see, it's not by chance. You can't say the fire came from the ground or, the stones rubbed against each other and so forth. There's water everywhere. And then Elijah said, oh Lord God, let these people know that you have sent me. Hallelujah. That you are the living God and I have spoken your word and turned their hearts back towards you today. And immediately fire came from heaven, licked up everything. This is the kind of man this Elijah was. But back to our story on the parting of the waters. You've seen multiple times now where the water have been parted. God parted the water first. Now people seeing that God did that, learning that God did that, they've seen that it can be done. It happened also with Moses. Elijah knew it can be done. Elisha knew it could be done because he's seen it. Now, do we know that it can be done? Ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic part of this is to tell you that the waters are covering up the thing that God wants to bring forth. The earth could not yield her increase until God had to move the waters out of place. Let the dry land appear first, first he said, let the waters be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. Glory to God. Now, there are some things that God has promised each one of us. Some things he has promised generally in the word of God too. But he has also promised specifically. For instance, this year he promised that we will emerge. Sometimes some things are covering up that promise. The Lord by wisdom, he hid many things in the earth. And the Bible say, it's going to take knowledge to figure it out. Well, it's going to take the Spirit of God. Remember, in the book of Genesis, first, the Spirit of God had to move over the deeps before anything could happen. The Spirit of God must move. It's called an unction from God. Anytime God wants to do something, especially shake things up and bring order out of chaos like it was in the beginning and things like that, there's some people whose lives are just chaotic. The lives just attract chaos. Everything they do is just upside down. Well, it's time for the Holy Ghost to move. There's some things that are being abstracted in your life. They're just not coming to pass. You waited, you prayed and everything. But it is time for the waters to be parted and divided. And let the earth appear. And the earth has fruitfulness. It has increase that it can yield. But it's not going to happen while the waters are covering it up. And the devil, that's what he likes to do. God has made you a flame of fire. But, I see the devil. One time I saw that. He has his hands over the flame trying to quench it, but he couldn't do it. You know, and all the things that God has promised, you know, not one of them would fail. But, you know, sometimes we need a little help. Sometimes we need the parting of the waters, you know, for the dry land for it to appear. Glory to God. You know, here is what, you know, Joshua said in Joshua 21, you know, when the Lord had given them rest all about and had delivered them, there was not a man that could stand before him and their enemies. Joshua 21 verses 44 to 45. The Lord had delivered all their enemies into their hand. And he said, there has not failed any good thing of all that the Lord had promised to the house of Israel. All came to pass. It's nothing that failed. All came to pass. Well, it's not that quite easy if the devil has something to say about it. The devil is going to try to make sure that whatever God has spoken to you does not come to pass. Well, that's his job, you know. But the Lord's word will never fail. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, you know, we see Solomon and the temple, the building of the temple and all of these things and so forth. The dedication of the temple. You know, starting at verse 54 of 1 Kings 15. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, that he arose before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread unto heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. He's quoting Joshua 21 verses 41 to 45 here. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. That has given rest to his people Israel. According to all that he promised, they had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Well, same thing Joshua said, same thing this man is saying. Well, today, in order for us to make sure that nothing failed of what God has promised, we must do like Elijah did. Elijah was a man of prayer, was a man of passion. He was a man that stood before the Lord. In fact, the first appearance of him that we saw was he come out of the shadows. And he said, you know, thus saith the Lord, before whom I stand. Hallelujah. You know, so he was already, he was a man that was used to the presence of God. And said, there shall be no rain or water or any such thing except by my word. He locked up heaven, put a key in his pocket and walked away. That's it. You know, but when the Lord told him it's time, see, the word of the Lord came to him again and said, it's time, you know, go release what you locked up. So Elijah, he came out again and he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And then God said, look, gather together unto me all Israel today, gather all the prophets of the group, the prophets of Baal, everything, King Ahab, everybody. I'm going to show you the word of the Lord today. And they came, you know, because they'd been looking for him, but they came. They couldn't touch him too. You know, and he said, look, you know, we're right here, right now. And after he dealt with all the prophets of the Baal, I mean, the group and prophets of Baal, and then he told Ahab, get thee up, go eat and drink, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But Elijah himself did not go up to eat and drink. So ladies and gentlemen, we want to walk in fire. We want to have chariots of fire. We want to be able to call fire down. We want to do all these great things. We want to go up in the flames and chariots of fire like Elijah did. Well, let's take a cue from Elijah. You know, Elijah was a man that knew that even though he had seen the abundance of rain coming, even though God had told him that it was coming, he was a man that knew that he had to pray that thing through. He had to pray down the promise. He knew it. You know, and that's why occasionally we will come into these rooms and we would pray. God already said he's going to do it. you know, but I can't just stand by. I got to pray for the people, you know, and the priests, they have to stand, you know, make sure as long as they are still there, the waters will remain parted until the people go over. Hallelujah. And this priest will be the last to come out of that River Jordan when it's parted like that. You know, so when we are praying, we already know God said he would do it, but we got to pray it through. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do some praying through with the people today. That's what we do. Elijah went up to pray. He sent Ahab to go and eat, but he didn't. He went to pray. And when he put his knees down, James chapter 5 will tell us later that he prayed fervently. Why? The Lord already told you the rain is coming. What do you got to pray for? Well, that's the secret. You know, because the devil will fight whatever God already said is coming. And so Elijah had to pray through. Sent his servant, go check it out. You know, where is the rain at? The man said, I see nothing. Elijah continued to pray. You know, enough time passes by. We don't know. It wasn't 1 minute in between those errands that he sent his servant. It could have been hours. We don't know. You know, but he sent him again. You know, maybe 20 minutes later or whatever. I don't know. He sent him again. Go check it out. And the man checked it out. He said, I still see nothing. Came back. Said, Elijah went to pray some more. God, you already said this thing is coming. Where is it at? Why is the heavens brass? You know, let everything, you know, be parted. Let everything be divided. Let the abundance of rain come and cover us because you promised it. All right. Go check it out. Nothing. The man went back to pray again. Put his head between his knees. This is how we do it, folks. You can't just pray one time and say, well, the Lord said, yeah, and then you walk away. You know, well, if you have tremendous faith, you can do it. You know, you just, if you have faith. And sometimes, you know, I do that by the grace of God, because sometimes, you know, that faith is really working. Just speak the word, move on. But there are times when you got to pray that promise through, especially when we are praying for the elect of God, you know. Real ministers of God, they know that that's what they got to do. You know, you got to pray and pray and pray. You know, so that's why we do these rooms. We come back for prayer. Say, well, but we prayed about it last time. No. Yes, we did. But, you know, we ought always to pray and not to faint. And ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest until he establish his glory and his praise upon you. So that's what we do. Finally, after 7 times, the man went up again and then he said, ah, I see something in the clouds. It looks like a little man's, it's a cloud. I see it forming in the heavens. I mean, it's just so far away though, but I can't tell, but it's a dark cloud, but it looks just like the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it. That's it. Woo-hoo! You know, so that teaches us a lesson, folks. When it comes, it's coming like a flood, but it may start as a little thing. That's right. Jesus, he gave us the same principles. You know, he said, look, when somebody plants seed in the ground, they don't go dig it up. They just leave it there. You know, he said, because what does it do? Well, it's going to bring forth seed of itself. But when, how does it happen? Well, let's read it in Mark chapter 4. And verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring forth and grow forth of itself. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. But look at the process. You know, it's not the harvest right away. No. First, the blade. Then the air. And after that, the full corn in the air. So that's a process to it. First, the little cloud. You know, a cloud in the sky, like a little hand. It's just the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. You know, so first, the blade. When you plant that thing, at first, that plant that corn, when it starts to grow, it looks just like grass. Yes, that's all. It comes out. And if you are too impatient, you weed it out, you're done. You know, you got to let it be. But you help it by weeding away things around it, watering it, making sure it has sunshine and so on and so forth. And before you even planted, you made sure that you broke up your fallow ground, because you can't make sure you don't plant among thorns, because they're choking the thing. And you get the ground ready. You do all of that by finding the promises of God. We've taught that in the faith labs. And you put your faith, you plant your faith on that good soil. And when it begins to happen, it may not come like a flood immediately. It may come here a little and there a little. It may start like a little hand, a glove, the size of a glove, size of a hand. That's what the cloud looked like at first. But in his heart, he knew there's an abundance of rain coming. And the next thing you know, there was an abundance of rain. So ladies and gentlemen, that's a recap. Well, I said some other things that I probably didn't say yesterday, but that's our lesson for today. And the waters must be parted. And what makes it a prophetic declaration is anytime we take the word of God, and if you know how to use this, if you know how to do it, you can make a prophetic declaration at any time. And what's a prophetic prayer? A prophetic prayer is you use the word of God to declare over the situation. That's it. You know, so I can boldly say, and that's why I call it prophetic. You know, plus also the Lord might show you something. You know, remember, the Holy Spirit, he always shows us something ahead. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Holy Spirit will show you what's coming. He already showed you. You're sick now. The Holy Spirit showed you that you're already well. Hallelujah. You know, whatever it is, I mean, you are believing God for anything. Holy Spirit will show it to you ahead of time. You can see yourself walking in that new job. You can see yourself pacing around in your new house. You don't have it yet. You can see yourself walking down the aisle, you know, on your wedding day. You don't have it yet, but you can see it. Hallelujah. You can see yourself holding that baby. Hallelujah. You can see yourself getting out of that wheelchair, if you're in one. You can see yourself, whatever the situation is, Holy Spirit can show it to you ahead of time. And sometimes it may take some time. You know, sometimes it may take a long time. We don't know. I mean, it took the children of Israel 400 years. I mean, they were in captivity. Why did it take God 400 years before he could respond? I don't know. You know, but God already told Abraham it would take that long. I mean, God could have jumped in and saved them, you know, after the first couple of years. You know, many of them died in those 400 years. Generation after generation, generation after generation, they died. You know, but we also know that maybe they might have been comfortable with their situation at first. Because God said, I have seen their affliction. And now I have heard their cry. Well, so, you know, make sure you cry, crying out unto the Lord. Don't just stay in your affliction. Cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord, he will hear you speedily. And though it tarry, wait for it. Don't give an inch. In fact, Jesus told the story. The woman that pestered the judge, in Luke chapter 18, pestered him. You know, and the man said, look, I don't care about your case. You know, I couldn't care less. You know, but I don't fear God. You know, I see I'm the judge here. I am the all in all. What I say goes. Yeah, that's what it means by not fearing God. Well, and I don't care about it. But the only way I'm going to get rid of this woman, if I don't do what she wants, she's going to come here every day and pester me. So let me just get rid of her. I got to do what I want, what she wants. Jesus told this story. He also told the story of a man that went and knocked at his friend's door, you know, and the man thinks from the inside, said, look, I'm already asleep. Go away. My children are in bed. And he said, look, I've got a friend that came from out of town. The stores are closed. And I have a piece of bread, you know, that I can set before my guests. He said, no, my children are sleeping. Go away. You know, I can't get up. But the man kept knocking. And the only way, if you don't get up and give him what he wants, he's going to keep knocking and wake up everybody. You know, so the only way that you're going to get rid of him, not because he's your friend, but because you don't want him to wake up everybody, is you better go answer that door quickly. And Jesus told these stories. I mean, look, if we analyze these stories, what Jesus is saying there is this. Look, when you are knocking for something from God to open some door, when you're asking God to do something, and for whatever reason, we don't know the reasons why these things are delayed sometimes. But for whatever reason, Jesus is saying, keep on knocking. You know, keep on asking. Keep on pestering him. Praise God. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you have faith, the right kind of faith, your faith gives the heavens permissions to do things for you. That's it. You know, even when the heavens are brass, when you are believing God, and God is looking down there and saying, wow, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that are spoken to her from the Lord. And she's looking at you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. And she called, and God calls a counsel and says, all right, well, I see my daughter is believing to get married. I see this other one is believing to get healed. I see this other one is believing for a baby. I see that my son is believing for this and that. What are you guys going to do about it? Say, here's what you are going to do. You go down there and you make sure what she's believing for comes to pass. And in fact, if their heart is weary, show them a sign in a dream or something. I mean, God can do all these things. We saw that in the story when, he called a council against Ahab, who's going to go down to Ramah Gilead and persuade him that he will fall. By God telling us and showing us that counsel that he had. He can have other counsels too. It's not only about somebody going to fall. He can have counsel because he gives his angels charge. Calls them and send them down there. Go and make sure this my daughter is believing. As she's believing me, go down there, make sure whatever she's believing for comes to pass. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, those angels have to fight their way, like we saw in the story of Daniel and the Prince of Persia. But one way or another, if you don't stop believing, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, he will answer you speedily. But nevertheless, when he comes, when he finally shows up, by the time those waters are finally gathered into one place and the dry land is about to appear, will you still be at that point of faith? That's our lesson today. Let's believe God together. Well, I'm not going to call for prayer today like I did yesterday. I did that already. But I will just pray over the room. This was actually a repeat of yesterday's lesson, because some people said the replays were broken. The replay was broken. So I thought I would just come out here and do it again. And I believe God revealed some other things which I didn't speak yesterday, because you can't preach it the same way twice. So now I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to ask that God will send that east wind. Glory to God. Remember, he told Ezekiel the same thing. Prophesy upon the bones. He did. They stood up, but they were still lifeless. Then prophesy unto the winds. And he did. And the next thing you know, breath came into them. Glory to God. God has a way with the wind. Bible says his way is in the whirlwind even. You know, the whirlwind is at his steps. Glory to God. He'll begin to turn the tables in your favor. Now, Father, I thank you for your children in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to use the word that God used at the beginning. Because Jesus taught us the same thing. He said, if you can say to this tree, you know, let this tree be removed and be cast into yonder place or mountain or whatever. And if you don't doubt it, you come to pass. You continue to believe it, it shall come to pass. Now, therefore, O Lord, let the waters be gathered together unto one place. Hallelujah. All the waters, the proud waters even. Hallelujah. I try to go over your people. In the book of Psalm 124, he says, if it had not been the Lord who was with us, even the God of Sabaoth, if it had not been the Lord, but he said, well, now can we say it was the Lord that was with us? That's why the devil couldn't get the better of us. If it hadn't been the Lord that was with us, the proud waters would have gone over our souls. But now we see that the Lord was with us, and the proud waters could not go over our souls. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to use the words of Psalm 124 to come against all the proud waters. Psalm 124 and verse 5. The proud waters that would have gone over your soul, today I command them by the east wind of God, be moved back. Hallelujah. Piled up on either side, on the left, on the right, and everywhere. And let the dry land appear. In that land, in that earth, God has hid many beautiful things. You know, but it's being obstructed by these waters that are covering it up. And God will call forth your deliverance. Glory to God. Now remember, men ought always to pray. You say, well, we prayed for this yesterday. Why not? We pray for it again today. So what? You know, pray for it again tomorrow. So what? Every time you pray, mix it with thanksgiving. Mix it with thanksgiving. Mix it with thanksgiving. The next thing you know, joy begins to come into your heart. Confidence begins to come. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You begin to get confident knowing that God who has spoken is able also to perform. You are persuaded. You've seen the promise. You've, been persuaded of it. You embrace it for the current situation and you begin to confess it. You begin to act it out. That's your faith specs. You begin to act it out. Hallelujah. You know, if you were sick, you had a doctor's evil report, you begin to believe God. Hallelujah. If you are looking for a baby, you begin to prepare the baby's room. Glory to God. If you are trying to get married, you begin to prepare for it. Your children need to be married too. That's right. You know, then you begin to prepare for their marriage. There's no spouse in sight yet. But that's okay. There's no husband. There's no wife. That's okay. Begin to prepare. Hallelujah. And God, when he sees your faith, Bible say one time when Jesus saw their faith, because they opened up the roof to bring in their friends because they couldn't get through the door. And when Jesus saw their faith, not even the faith of the man that was, you know, palsy, but he saw the faith of his friends. And then Jesus, he moved into action. When Jesus sees your faith, how you are preparing for that thing that you are believing God for, he will give his strangers charge and say, go down there and make sure it comes to pass. Make sure those waters that are piling up over them before, make sure they are divided. And let the dry land appear for them to go through. Therefore, shall the redeemed of the Lord pass through on dry ground. May the Lord give you the faith to believe his word this morning. In Jesus' name, we command the waters, let the waters be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear, making a way for you to pass through on dry land in the name of Jesus and possess your possessions. For it shall come to pass that the house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph shall be a flame. And they shall possess their possessions. They shall kindle the house of Edom, which will be for stubble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, therefore, O Lord, arise and shine over your people, for the time to favor them has come. Let the Lord have his way in your life. Lean not to your understanding, but in all his ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall bring forth the glory in your life. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. We are looking for testimonies from the people. Even as soon as today, after yesterday, testimonies. As soon as tomorrow, after today, testimonies. Hallelujah. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Hallelujah. It makes wise and simple. God will begin to do great things for you, begin to part the waters, and you begin to make dry ground appear for you, and you will march on to your possession. Father, we thank you and give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.